You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
If someone asks, I always tell them healing is easy. It's exactly like killing, but in reverse.
And Daryl.
It gladdens my heart to see you once more, friend.
Good evening, or morning, or whatever it is for you, and welcome to episode 158 of the Training Dummies podcast, recorded on March 4th, 2017. My name is Rob, and I'm happy to be recording again on a Saturday night instead of in-game playing, right, Daryl?
Yes, I get what you're saying.
How are you doing, man? What's going on?
Not much. I've been busy home renovating, and my home renovation is getting bigger every time I look at it, so it's kind of scary.
I know you put out a call to arms, and if I weren't like 1500 miles away or whatever it is, I'd help you out.
Yeah, I could use a little help, definitely. It's gonna take me a while.
I know that probably, I don't know, is it easier to do that stuff in the winter then when you're stuck inside a little more?
I don't know if it's easier. Like, if I need to trudge out to the table saw, I gotta go through a bunch of snow to get there. But other than that, it's not bad in the winter, I guess. I can't be outside enjoying the weather, so might as well do some renovations inside.
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Have you played any healing classes in a World of Warcraft Legion so far?
I leveled as my shaman as Resto up to 110. I think I healed like 3 normal dungeons during that process and haven't looked at it since.
So you noped on out of there right away, huh?
Pretty much. Yes.
Well, tonight we have a repeat guest. We've got Automatic Jack. He is the Holy Priest Wowhead Guide Writer, and we are super psyched to have Jack back on the show. Jack, thank you for taking some time out of your Saturday evening to come hang out with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
It was pretty awesome that you had actually pinged me and reminded me to schedule this because I was being a little bit lazy with the shows. So it was really nice to get that message from you. And I had actually, right before I got that message from you, I had kind of swapped my priest from Shadow over to Holy just to goof around a little bit.
There we go.
And I got the exactly. And I got this last week, I got the legendary trinket off the world boss. The Velen's?
Oh my! Super, are you serious?
Super califragilistic one, yeah, man.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, maybe it's
pretty much the OP most OP legendary out there, besides a cloak. You know, Holy is blessed to have some actually insane legendaries at their disposal, but the legendary trinket is just a whole another level of throughput. So ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wish I had.
I don't think. That's one of the feel good ones, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a few that I've gotten where, and even even my our buddy Justin on his warrior last night got the, I think it was a Prydaz, the necklace,
yeah.
And like immediately everyone's just like, ha ha, and like, yeah, it's awesome. It has that crazy absorb on it. Oh yeah, super good legendary, but like it just like doesn't, like you don't put it on and go, yes.
Hey, it's pretty good for healers, actually. Through my rating and stuff like that, I never really have to heal myself. All of my healing comes from my neck piece, which I have. So I have the neck and I have the legendary cloak, which just automatically reses me if I die.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I really never have to kind of heal myself. I just have personal that heals me, and then I have the neck. Just and then leech. And leech is absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Leech is awesome. Yeah, been playing Demon Hunter DPS, and I take a talent that when I go into my my big cooldown metamorphosis, I get like a crap ton of leech, and you can see a difference. You just see like everyone else's health is dipping down, and I'm like, nah, I'm good, and like just staying topped off the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna cut to the chase here. We're gonna try something a little bit different. You've been on the show. We don't need to get to know you too much. We're actually just super happy to have you back. I'm gonna steal one of Daryl's things here, though. Before we get into it, though, what is your favorite thing about Legion right now?
AP farm. No, I'm just kidding.
you know, somebody said that, like, legitimately.
like, I'm sure they did.
But it was more of like a, hey, there's always something to do, you know?
Yeah, I think it's nice that there's always something to do. I kind of wish that they would kind of reprioritize, like, your AP per hour so that you're kind of incentivized to do different things in different weeks. But I think the favorite thing so far is just, it's a lot more personal. It feels with like your legendary, or sorry, with your artifacts and stuff like that. And just the individual quests, the questing in general has gotten a lot better. And my only qualm is that the AP grind takes up so much that I'm not like leveling my DK, my Demon Hunter, all my other alts that I want to play. Cause it's just kind of pushing me to say, okay, what are the little secret stories behind all this other stuff? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, you end up getting pushed into places that you haven't been to in years to do these quests. So it's pretty sick.
I took the opposite route and I did get distracted by every single shiny alt and thing out there, and so yeah, that's a whole another can of worms. But Gerald, do you have any other quick questions before we get into it?
No, I don't think so. We'll might as well just hop straight in.
This is Dream All Guard right. from Antisocial Club, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right, if you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Daryl _TTD. So this one, this is probably going to be another one of those where I sit back and don't participate as much. Last time I played a Holy Priest, I think, was Cataclysm. So anyway, I'll let you guys take over for a moment.
Well, we're going to change that.
Yeah, seriously. I feel like your claim to fame for a while, Daryl, was that you got all the healers up and you were viable on all the healers. And
there was Cataclysm.
I know. Yes. And, well, you dropped the ball, and I think it's a good time to find that ball and to pick it up and to,
yeah,
to
maybe,
bounce it.
Maybe.
Shoot some, score some goals with that ball.
All right.
With the ball I picked up and bounced? What game was this?
Isn't there some PvP thing with the ball? I don't know.
There was a boss in
Quidditch.
was it Dragon Soul that you had to bounce the ball
bouncy,
back and forth?
There you go.
Ball,
that's
guy.
Right.
There, all right.
When I was healing.
Okay. There you go. Hey Jack, why don't we start off with stats? And we'll kind of work our way down, but we'll talk about the stats first and see like maybe where the priorities fall.
Sure. With Holy, it's actually kind of changed a little bit where everything has some value in some capacity. So Mastery, of course, is going to be the first one. Our Echo of Light just causes any direct healing that you have to also leave a little hot after the end. That'll be a percentage of what you healed for. So if I have 50% Mastery, I heal you for 100 with Flash Heal, you also have a hot afterwards for 50. You know, it's great to a certain extent. Because of how they rebalanced how Echo of Light ticks, so it used to be like every second back in, I believe it was after, once Cataclysm ended, they changed it, or maybe it was going into Mist of Pandaria, something like that, where they just changed how rapidly something would tick, so now there's a lot more overheal to it. So generally what you're kind of going for is you're looking for an area where you're not going to be overhealing by too crazy of an amount with it. So generally people are kind of looking at like 40% overheal as being like, the most. So I'm around like 40-42% Mastery. From there, you're looking to have just a solid amount of crit and haste. Haste has gotten more valuable just from some of the talent picks that we've had. So around 15-20% haste, because there's not any more like solid set in stone breakpoints to go for. Generally, you know, being in the high teens is great to have. And then your crit can be kind of flexible from there. You know, the more that you're in fights where Mastery is extremely amazing. So we just got Elisan down on Mythic a couple days ago, actually about a week ago now, and Echo of Light was crazy efficient. And then you go into a fight like Star Auger where Echo is just not efficient at all. So you kind of have to keep that in mind where you know, where Mastery kind of falls back, then you start pushing towards more crit in general. So generally, you're looking for like Mastery, then Haste and Crit to a certain extent. And then even having a little bit of versatility is okay to have. Mm-hmm. But you definitely don't want to get too much. I mean, there's a ton of versatility on like our tier gear, unfortunately. So,
So we had Dream Guard on last week for the Holy Pally thing.
And he's a great guy.
Yeah, one thing he was saying that you're kind of saying too, though, is that you know, there is kind of like gear one favored stat, and then it seems like from there that a lot of them are pretty even. I wonder if that
diversity's great. Yeah, I think Blizzard's done a pretty good job of making all the stats quite close together. So in general, you're going for item level. The net effect of this is basically you're going to be going for item level in most cases. And it's not too bad. And anything that just pushes you to have a diversity of stats because you go too high into one stat, then you start hitting some diminishing returns, and it's not good. So, you know, it's nice to have just a good diversity.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that on most of the DPS classes. You pretty much go hard on like whatever, you know, crit or haste or whatever your flavor is, but like it is like definite. So if you get something that doesn't have your stat on it, you're not really sure. Even if it's a 20-30 item level upgrade, you're still not really sure if it's good or not. But
definitely
sounds like this is the opposite of that. This is like you can just get an upgrade and enjoy the upgrade.
Definitely. And in many ways, it kind of takes less pressure off of that. And I think that's one thing, at least from my guides and my perspective, is I'm just kind of stressing to people that, you know, the gameplay, how you're pushing your buttons is going to matter 1,000 times more than the gear that you have on. You know, it's so much more about your gameplay. You can have whatever kind of gear.
I really like to hear that because I feel like this expansion has almost been the opposite where you're with artifact weapons and everything, you got to get the right legendary or you're not going to put up the right numbers. But with healing, it sounds like, you know, you just need to do a good job and know how to play your class.
In general, I think artifact power is definitely a problem in the imbalance that you get. Because, I mean, if you're having somebody with like 10% more healing done than you do, you know, they're obviously going to beat you, or you would hope. Legendaries hasn't been too big of a problem because, again, the better player can kind of get ahead. But we've seen with the trinket that you just got and why I kind of freaked out about it, the Velen's Future Sight, it really kind of makes it so that bad players can just do insanely well. And, you know, I mean, and just in general, if a great player has it, then they're just going to be smoking everybody. Yeah. No.
So I can go into LFR and pop that thing and just spam AoE heals and look like I'm doing a really good job.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's the legendary that really breaks the game. Otherwise, I think it's pretty nice.
Well, I'm glad I got it. I haven't had luck with a lot of the other ones. Do you want to maybe we can go kind of do the our typical thing? I know this is Daryl's favorite part, going through the talent picks.
Really,
we can go just start at level 15 and then maybe talk about which ones are good, which ones are trap, which ones are viewer's choice or, you know, whatever.
Sure. So for 15, you have Trail of Light, which is just an increase to your flash heal. So flash heal will be healing the last target for 40%. So you cast flash heal on Daryl, and that's great. I cast it on Rob, and now Daryl, after I cast it on Rob, gets healed for 40% of what I healed Daryl for.
That's kind of cool.
It's a great talent for tank healing. I think Holy Priest is actually extremely strong at tank healing. I don't think that they're going to beat Paladins, you know, but they're extremely, extremely strong at tank healing, and Trail of Light really helps you with that. Enduring Renewal is a trap talent for PvE. I don't think you'd really want it in PvP either, but single target heals, refresh, renew on the target, so you have to have renew on the target, and then you have to constantly be flash healing them or healing them to refresh it. And all too often, you're just kind of refreshing and overhealing with your flash heal to keep a renew up that you don't really need. Yeah.
Okay.
So it looks cool, but in practice, it just doesn't really work out that well. Enlightenment, you regenerate mana 10% faster. Oh my gosh. So your baseline regen is about 48,400 MP5. So mana per 5 seconds. This bumps it up by 4,400. Yeah. So you end up getting, I believe, 53,000 mana a minute extra.
That's so, like a free spell a minute in a lot of cases. So.
Yeah, it's a free prayer of healing, a little bit more than a free prayer of healing every minute. And prayer of healing is very expensive. So what you're finding with Nighthold is you're really, really wanting to use lots of prayer of healing. So Enlightenment is the pick for most fights. But if you have it where like your raid has to be healing both the tanks constantly at the same time, then Trail of Light's really good. Or we were on Mythic Tichondrius a couple weeks back, and that requires really focus healing 2 or 3 targets at a time. So constantly having trail for that fight, and you're not really worrying about the mana because Tichondrius refunds you all this mana over the course of the fight.
Oh, that's right, when you go into the other phase. Yeah.
So mana's not an issue, and you need a lot of single target healing. You know, it's kind of the criteria for checking trail. But otherwise, in general, your default's Enlightenment. 30 has the feather, which you just place underneath your feet. So you have body of mind, which you just cast on yourself, which is kind of cruddy because you're always having to like target yourself with it, and it has a slower movement speed overall. Mm-hmm. Like it's slower sustained movement speed because it has a 10-second cooldown and only increases your movement speed by 40% for 4 seconds, whereas the feather is 40% for 5 seconds, and it's a charge base. You can keep on spamming feathers to run a long distance. And then Perseverance is whenever you have Renew on yourself, it reduces all damage you take by 10%. Perseverance looks kind of cool, but you really just need to be able to move quick. You will generally take less damage if you are moving to your location faster, and you'll be able to heal more if you go to your location faster. Because Holy is very turrety. You want to be standing still as much as you can. Mm-hmm. So if you're moving, you feather to where you need to be, and then you're able to plant faster. So it's generally going to be going to feather. 45 tier, you have a knockback with Shining Force. You have a stun with Censure, and then you have Afterlife, which just increases the duration of your Spirit of Redemption, your big angel. Mm-hmm. So for raids, you're definitely going to be taking Afterlife. In Mythic Plus, you can take either Shining Force if you have like Necrotic and you want to be bumping adds off the tank, or you can take Censure if you just want to be able to stun some people. So, but generally for raids, you're going to take Afterlife.
All right.
For the 60 tier, you have Light of the Naru, which, so for Holy Priests, we have two big cooldowns. We have Holy Word Serenity and Holy Word Sanctify. And Serenity is basically like a 1 minute cooldown to lay on hands, something like that. And mm-hmm. Sanctify is just a big flat bomb AoE heal in like a certain radius. So all of Healing Rain up front in one burst.
Oh,
and you
nice.
Can reduce
okay.
the cooldown of both of those by casting similar spells. So like Flash Heal and Heal, reduce the cooldown of Serenity because they're both single target. You know, Prayer of Healing, and if you have Prayer of Mending and the Piety talent, then it reduces Sanctify, you know? So spells that are related to them, reduce them. And Light of the Naru, and then they always reduce them by 6 seconds, and then Light of the Naru adds an additional 2 seconds to that cooldown reduction. So it's super, super strong. It's, you know, a flat, 25% increase to your cooldown reduction for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're generally going to take that for every single raid boss, and even in Mythic Plus as well. You can take Guardian Angel if you're in Mythic Plus. It's whenever your Guardian Spirit expires without saving the target. So your Guardian Spirit is like your tank cooldown, and if the target dies while you have it on them, the spirit itself absorbs the death and then bumps them up to 40%. So basically, if you have Guardian Angel, if the spirit just expires from a regular duration, it just reduces the cooldown. So it can be okay for Mythic Plus if you're definitely going to be spamming the tanks enough so that the angel isn't going to pop. But generally in Mythic Plus, what I like to do is I like to be able to put Guardian Angel on the tank, and then I can say, okay, I don't have to worry about the tank. Now I can just spam some Holy Nova, spam some AoE, and then I'm mm-hmm. killing everything faster, and we can go faster, you know? So generally, I don't really take Guardian Angel. And then Symbol of Hope is a 6 minute cooldown, and it allows all of your healers to cast for free for 12 seconds. And this like looks like, oh my gosh, this is super crazy and stuff like that, right? But it kind of sucks in many ways because because you're having all of your healers cast their most expensive stuff in uh-huh. one window. And because of like the plethora of raid cooldowns, you have like 2 minute tranks, and then you have the crappy monk legendary that lets you have like 2 minute or 2 30 minute revivals.
Revival,
and then
yeah.
you generally just don't have enough damage to really justify all these cooldowns. So if you're going to pop Symbol and you're going to have everyone spam their most efficient or their most expensive stuff for 12 seconds, it's like it's its own cooldown, but there's not really a good window in many fights.
It would have to be like super coordinated, right? You'd have to be hitting a very specific wall to make this.
Mm-hmm. You'd like have to have no, you have to have no cooldowns. You'd have to be really stretched for mana. You'd also have to be like really affecting everybody. And generally it's just not that good compared to Light of the Naru, because Light of the Naru is giving a constant steady increase to all of your heals, and you're getting your words back mm-hmm. faster. And the Holy Words, like we'll go over with some of the later talents, are just mm-hmm. extremely important. So 75 tier, you have Surge of Light, which is just healing spells, can give you free flash heals sometimes. It's very mana efficient, but generally, you know, it's not as good anymore because of some of the later talents. So Binding Heal is also, it sucks that that's a talent. I love this spell.
Yeah, that used to be baseline, didn't it?
It was. Now they made it a talent, unfortunately.
Rip.
So it heals you, a friendly target, and a third friendly target within 20 yards, and it triggers Serendipity for both Holy Words. So instead of... So baseline, it's 6 seconds. With the Serendipity, it is now just the 3 seconds. And if you have Light of the Naru, it's +2. So 5 seconds for each Holy Word, I believe. And so it's great for like getting both your Holy Words back. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it's not quite the talent to take because they just buff Piety. So in 715, they buff Piety, and Piety makes it so that your Prayer of Mending's cooldown is reduced by 2 seconds, which is a big deal. And that was the big buff that they got. And now it also triggers Serendipity, reduces the cooldown of Sanctify. So basically, you're getting your Prayer of Mending's back faster, and it synergizes really well with your 100 talent, which we'll talk about in just a sec. and it generally just going to make your healing just skyrocket. So it's very, very efficient. It's very, very powerful. And because it was buffed, then it kind of killed taking Binding Heal, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
So it was like we were really, really close to taking it, and then they buffed Piety, and then it's like we're not taking it. So
well, there's 90. I've got, but real quick, I just had two things. You said I don't know if you'll get if you're going to get to this later. We can cover it later. Serendipity.
Yeah, sorry. Serendipity is just the cooldown reduction.
Okay, so that's a passive thing, or that's something?
Mm-hmm, it's passive. Yeah. So okay. I cast Flash Heal on you. I reduce my Holy Word Serenity by 8 seconds.
So it's kind of like a synergy between all your healing spells built into the class. That's yep. just passive. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that piety is cool because it sounds like you're saying pie eating, and there's nothing wrong with that.
All right.
Level 90.
Nice.
Level 90. So you have Divinity, which is whenever you heal with a Holy Word, your healing is increased by 15% for 6 seconds. This is super good because all of our healing is revolving around Holy Words. You know, so it's very, very strong. This is the go-to talent. And it's passive. It's a trend, actually, if you're noticing. We're taking all passives here.
I'm liking it.
Oh, wow.
So you have Divine Star and you have Halo, which are the next two, which work like they have for the past two expansions.
Mm-hmm.
Divine Star, you throw a little star. It heals everybody in its path. It deals some damage to people in its path. Halo, same thing. It just launches out of Halo. These are pretty underpowered at the moment because they're also shared with Disc. Like, they're the exact same value. So it generally is just not that good, to run either of them. You used to be able to in Warlords where you could run Divine Star and Surge of Light at the same time. And then your Divine Star would just proc a million surges and you could just like machine gun them out every time.
Oh, wow.
But they nerfed Surge of Light, so you can't do that anymore. So generally you're taking Piety and you're taking Divinity in those two places, and D Star and Halo are just not really taken at all, for Holy Priest, unless you're in like Mythic Plus. And you can take Divine Star and Halo for like damage if you wanted, but it's only just for the damage purposes. For the 100 talents, you have Circle Heal, which used to be baseline, which is now a talent.
Yeah, that was back in the stance dancing Holy mm-hmm. Priest days, right?
Yep. So it heals up to 5 allies. It's basically a prayer of healing, but it's not a prayer of healing. They increased the cooldown. There's no cooldown reduction to it. They increased its cost, reduced its healing. They did all kinds of stuff to it. So it's not great. You never take it, unfortunately. And it has no synergy with your Holy Words, which is just another problem.
Oh, okay.
Apotheosis, which is a really, really fun talent to take. It's your pure holy form, so it increases the effects of Serendipity by 200%. So instead of the regular 8 seconds, you know, you're increasing it 2 times. So you're having it math here. I believe it's 24 seconds. So yeah, if it's usually 8 seconds, you go up to 24 seconds of cooldown reduction per like Flash Shield cast or something like that. So you're getting your Holy Words basically back.
Wow, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I use my Serenity on you. The cooldown starts is at 60 seconds. I cast 3 Flash Heals and it's back up.
That's amazing. Know? Yeah.
So you can really machine gun them. But the problem is the cooldown, which is 3 minutes, and the duration is 30 seconds. So it requires such constant damage. Oh, and your Holy Words are also free. Right, so it feels amazing, but it requires such constant and gigantic damage in over a complete 30-second window that if you don't get that kind of healing in that 30-second window, then you're wasting it. Mm-hmm. So if this talent had half the cooldown, half the duration, it would be insane. It would be so much better.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's like it's almost and a half, too much. Seconds.
Yeah,
like,
it is too much. Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly
so
too
weird
much.
To think of as a healer to say, no, that's just too much healing. It's not.
Yeah, no you know. Kidding, eh?
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, like, if they adjusted it a little bit, it'd be great. But the more that you get deeper into expansions with healing, they make the damage less frequent and more bursty, you know? So you get into fights like Siegecrafter Black Fuse, right? Where, oh, I'm going to run out my laser for 10 seconds, and I come back and everyone's dead, you know? It's like, oh. Like, you get into those fights where it's just so much burst damage in just a small window of time. If you don't top people mm-hmm. off, they're dead, you know? So the more that we are moving towards that, and we're kind of getting there in some fights with the Nighthold, so the Apotheosis just isn't quite good enough. Couple that with Benediction, which is your last 100 talent, which is the go-to. Apotheosis is fantastic for Mythic Plus. It's, like, the best talent in Mythic Plus to go for,
mm-hmm.
because that's where... Keep in mind, it's any of your Holy Words. So the one Holy Word that I haven't talked about is Chastise, which is just a minute cooldown and just deals a big chunk of damage. So I can just be smiting and I get, you know, A chastise is up after every three smites and stuff like that. So that's really, really great. And I'm able to rapid fire those out. So it's very flexible with a Mythic Plus where I can be healing 1 second and I can start DPSing another second. And it's working with both. So you take Apotheosis, definitely a Mythic Plus. But in raids, you're always going to be taking Benediction. I've tried Apotheosis in a number of our Mythic fights and it just really wasn't working out, unfortunately. But Benediction, your Prayer of Mending has a 40% chance to leave a renew on each target that it heals. So Prayer of Mending is like, basically like a football with multiple charges. So I throw Daryl the football. It has 5 charges. He takes damage, the football heals him, and then jumps to Rob. And then Rob has 4 charges of the football, he takes damage, and it jumps to me. And I have 3 charges, right? So,
yeah.
4 out of 10 chance to leave a renew on top of that, which is super nice, coupled with the fact that you have Piety, which is reducing Prayer of Mending's cooldown by another 2 seconds. So you have more Prayer of Mending's out, and you have all kinds of synergy in your artifacts and stuff like that to... you know, make it so that sometimes your Prayer of Mendings don't lose value, don't lose bounces. So it's generally what you're going for. You have all kinds of little footballs bouncing around.
All right. I just noticed something, and maybe I should have noticed this like a while ago, but are all healing spells across the board, even not just a Holy Priest, do they all cost a percentage of base mana now instead of an amount? Or
yeah, it's, you know, percent of mana. So
it's been that way for a while.
I thought so, but I'm kind of poking around through some of these spells, and just reading it is kind of, you know, bringing it to mind here. So I didn't know if that was just normal or if that's something. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
It's just having it so that it's scaling properly as you're leveling.
That makes sense. Good job, Blizzard.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was so that's the talents then. Maybe we can get into a little bit of. I think their only resource that they use right now is mana, right?
Correct.
So how about a little bit on mana consumption and conservation and regen and a little bit about that?
Sure. So, of course, you have Enlightenment, like we talked about, which increases your mana regen by a very, very large amount over the course of a fight. And it actually, in many cases, will beat out the top 2 mana regen trinkets. So I guess technically top 3. So the top 3 mana regen trinkets... is Amalgam 7 Spine, which basically gives you mana for casting Flash Heal. You have Darkman Deck Promises, which basically just gives you a flat reduction to the cost of all your mana spells. And then you kind of have the Fluctuating Energy from Karazhan, which just drops little mana puddles that you have to stand in. So for Amalgams, the more Flash Heal you cast, the more mana you get back. Well, in Nighthold, we're not casting much Flash Heal. In fact, we're casting less and less of it because we're using Prayer of Healing more and more because Prayer of Healing got super buffed. So that already, we're losing a lot of value there. With Darkman Deck Promises, the faster that you're casting spells, the more cooldown or the more mana reduction you're getting. Well, we're casting longer spells like Prayer of Healing more than we're casting Flash Heal, so we're losing value there. And then with Fluctuating Energy, dropping puddles for you to pick up is not always a viable thing for you to do, especially on Mythic fights, because you have to run and get it. So generally, you're not really using... mana trinkets if you can help it. So if you're getting wisdom, Blessing of Wisdom from a paladin, or if you're getting an innervate from a druid, something like that, you're really able to stretch your mana a lot further. And it's also just partially because the mana trinkets that Blizzard has given us are really not performing it well at all. I think our mana pool is what, like 2 million mana total? And I think we're getting like 300,000-400,000 mana per fight if we're lucky. Something like that on most fights. So we're really getting a very small percentage of our mana pool back. But it's really just saying, well, why are we taking these? It's better off if you're playing conservatively and you're using, say, heal as a filler during downtime. And then you're able to really let loose on big damage and you're using lots of, you know, your Holy Word Sanctify into your Prayer of Healings, things like that. So you're really choosing when you want to be doing a lot of healing and pacing yourself rather than trying to spot heal here and there. You know, many fights, Star Augur is a great example of this. There's specific points where there's tons of burst damage and there's kind of nothing going on. So even if I'm just casting smite, like smite's free for holy priests, you know, I'm just sitting there, I'm just kind of casting smite, holding my bladder. And then you have, you know, the big scary purple lad at the end of the fight and you just go crazy. You just do a ton of healing.
That makes sense. Now you talked about, using smite. I noticed that smite and holy fire, those used to be kind of the staples of disc.
Like, yes. Uh-huh.
And, no, are those just across the board? You get those in Disc and Holy?
Yes. Disc does not have Holy Fire anymore. It has...
penance and
it has Shadowward Pain. So it has penance, it has Shadowward Pain. But you can turn your Shadowward Pain with one of the talents. I also write the disc guides for Wowhead, by the way. Pain can get turned into kind of like a Holy Fire esque, but it has no cooldown and it just leaves up a longer dot. It's called Purge the Wicked. So it's very similar. It, you know, it brings back memories of Holy Fire. So,
well, I noticed one dungeon I ran is holy that there wasn't a ton of damage going out, and I felt more like an old school disc priest half the time because I was just smite Holy Fire, smite Holy Fire, chastise, whole, you know, like it was just like it's like, wait a minute, this is what I remember, you know, throwing shields on people and then just smiting the whole time, and that's kind of what it felt like. But I think in a proper dungeon or, you know, a raid or Mythic Plus, I probably doesn't quite feel that way, huh?
Actually, you're casting a ton of Holy Nova in dungeons. Holy Nova, just like this big burst AoE stuff, and it's insanely strong on trashbacks.
Did they get rid of that for a while?
They got rid of it entirely because...
I remember the five mans in Cataclysm, like the Well of Eternity, or the... What was it?
Actually,
In Time or whatever. I remember just, like, that was basically the only button you needed. You just ran through, spamming the crap out of that, and that was it.
In the end of Mist of Pandaria, they were, like, still adjusting. Like, they did the pre-patch, right? And they buffed Holy Nova, and all you spammed as Discipline in the mop pre-patch was Holy Nova. It was crazy. And all you would do, because it would heal people, it would put absorbs on them when you crit, and this is the end of the expansion, so you had so much crit on. It was ridiculous.
I remember that.
I had like a big like radar tracker to make sure I had five people in range on some fights like Malkarok, which is a big circular room. Like, you didn't really want to have any range in melee because you would drop little orb things that you didn't want to touch that would take off your absorb. I would just stand in melee anyway, just Holy Nova spam, because even if it knocked off their shields, I'd just heal them up and create new shields.
Yeah, I remember doing Garrosh and LFR and just running up into melee and just being like, pew, 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 pew. And it was like, it's silly. All right, so we know that when you're healing, there's no rotation. It's very reactionary. What would you say, then, is a good way to approach more focused single-target healing?
I think one of the biggest things is knowing how you're allocating your healing and where your healing is going. So I kind of talked about how you have benediction, you have piety, where you're kind of just launching your prayer of mendings out there, and you're getting renews from them. And you're getting a lot of free healing from that in the process. Well, you want to be focusing that healing where you can. You know, you can be using your prayer of mendings always on the tanks, and they're going to be the first priority to be receiving any kind of renews, or the resulting echo, which is your mastery healing, from those from the prayer of mending healing, you know. So you can kind of focus your healing into that, and it provides sort of a trickle heal effect, similar to like Beacon in many ways, from a Paladin's perspective, where they have a trickle of heals going. Well, just by focusing that in, you're having your echo hot, you're having your renew hot. There's a couple artifact traits that synergize when you have your prayer of mending already land on a target that has renew and heals them for more. So you have a lot of little things like that. In terms of the fights, you'll find some fights where, like I said, with Tichondrius, where you will be focusing a lot more on single target because of some of the people with the debuffs. But if you're on, say, heroic Tichondrius, you're just going to move everybody with a debuff off to the left or the right or just away from your group. And those people are now a really good cluster for you to launch a lot of AoE heals off of. On Mythic, you're just focusing all of this, the Carrion Plague debuffs onto like two people, and you just spam them over and over again. On Heroic, you just have, you know, whoever gets it goes to the other side of the room, and then you can just kind of spam AoE heal them and kind of keep. So a lot of it is, in many ways, it's more anticipatory than reactionary, where you are, you know, looking at certain debuffs that are going out. I mean, there's millions and millions of debuffs in Nighthold, it feels like. Every fight has a slew of them to watch out for. So depending on what's going on, you can say, okay, that person needs to be topped off to 100%. Like Star Augur, for example, if they don't get topped off to 100%, they just basically die. Whereas some fights like Spellblade with the IC debuff there is a little bit more forgiving, but you still need to be spamming them. Now, Tichondrius' debuffs are very steady. They're very constant and stuff like that. And other fights are just very bursty. You know, so I think it's just identifying what's going on, where your healing is needed the most, and kind of understanding the difference between, you know, just overall healing done and healing done to certain targets. And if you're focusing your healing on priority targets like healing up time release debuffs on Chromatic Anomaly, well, that's going to help the raid a hell of a lot more than you just kind of AoE healing anybody, right?
Well, okay, so like in a mythic or 5-minute or mythic dungeon or a 5-minute environment, it's all on you. So, you know, who lives and who dies is basically on you at the end of the day. You know, even you can't control where people stand, and you
life grip
the best thing. Yeah, well, I guess you can.
That's right.
So if you're looking at a raid environment though, and talking about, you know, a consistent team of people that you work with, how much do you communicate with your other healers about cooldowns and assignments and who's going to focus on maybe tanks, or would you say that's important as well?
Definitely. A lot of the focus that we do as a healing team, I think we have six healers on our healing roster. We have a double druid, paladin, rest of shaman, monk, and myself. Actually, yeah, it's five now. Our disc priest retired. But for all of us, a lot of it will start with focusing on our raid cooldown order, how we're getting the most out of things. So, for example, Holy Priest, unfortunately, is the only healer that has an immobile raid cooldown, so I have to stand still. So, in many ways, I will be prioritizing my raid cooldown for when, you know, there's no movement going on. The druids will be using theirs when there's raid-wide movement, stuff like that. So that's always going to be a factor. And then from there, a lot of it will go into how we are healing priority targets or even looking at our logs, and you can isolate certain people who have the debuffs at certain times and how much healing we're doing to them. You know, that was a big focus for us on Tichondria, is because of the Carrion Plague, where we have to be focusing them constantly all the time, and even rotating little cooldowns like Ironbark if the rogues actually need it, you know.
So then do you, in a mythic progression type of place, do you go back and look at logs and figure out, like, you know, basically 2.5 minutes this always happens, so we need a trank here, and then 3 minutes we need to do you kind of get that granular with it, where you know even before the fight starts that, okay, druid's gonna do this, then you're gonna do this, then monk's gonna do this, then, like, is it really charted out like that?
Not quite as formal as you might think. For us, at least, I think when we're first feeling out of fight, our priority isn't to have a perfect cooldown order. It's kind of just to keep everybody alive. So on progression, for example, we all burn through all of our mana, as you know, as much as we need to. So for Elisande, we 3-healed it. I think everybody was over 800k. I got close to 1 million, stuff like that. We're burning through our mana as fast as we possibly can. And our priority is not our mana. Our priority is actually just to keep people alive. So if I have to burn way more mana than I need to, than I would usually need to, just to keep somebody alive, I'm going to do it on progression, because we're probably going to die to mechanics. We're probably not going to get to the point where the big damage happens and I'm out of mana. You know, it comes later. So early on, the focus is just keep everybody alive. Then when you start getting deeper and deeper, then you will not only just be pacing yourself more because you know it's coming and you'll be overhealing less, but people will also hopefully just be taking less damage.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the more you do the fight, you start to understand, definitely, you know, what's going to happen when, and you can kind of
plan accordingly and stuff like that. So a lot of times it's just, you know, looking over meters to make sure that we're all healing the priority targets and the healing done to the tanks, for example. So for Krosis, there's a lot of AoE damage, of course. On Mythic, there's a lot more of a focus on the tanks, though. So every single Holy Word Serenity I had went into the tanks every single time, you know, and we kind of coordinated like our cooldowns around like when the tanks needed them. And I even use my life grip, actually one of our artifact traits. Whenever you life grip somebody, it actually heals them for 15% of their max HP over 15 seconds or over 6 seconds. Right. So whenever the bridge is breaking, I just grip one of the tanks and it costs less than a flash heal to heal them almost a million.
Yep,
it heals them for almost 1 million for just gripping them. So that's one thing where they're taking a lot of damage. They're not at full health. They're not going to be at full health. And it's a very, very cheap heal. You know, so I do that every time. And it's just a very, very strong way of just
allocating mana. Creative way of using some of your other abilities.
So a lot of times that'll be kind of our focus, is just how we're organizing our cooldowns for specific points in time. We don't really have anything which is like, oh my gosh, you're going to get this group and you're going to get this group. you know, the only time that we really do those is whenever we have to split up a group. You know, so on like Chromatic Anomaly, we have to split up the team. Half the team goes this way, half the team goes that way.
Do you have any? We talked a little bit about single target and how you said that it's a little more anticipating what's coming rather than reacting. Do you have any other tips maybe that would apply to AoE, or is it kind of just the same thing?
Oh, it's definitely a very similar concept. With Krosis is a great example. It's probably the best example. You know every single time what's coming. So Prayer of Healing is always proximity based. So whoever is closest to your target is going to get healed by it. So in that vein, you have two big AoE things on Krosis. You have the slam, and then you have the orb that goes out. Well, the orb is based off proximity damage. So if you have two groups, you have range, you have melee, you're going to precast Prayer of Healing on the range for the orbs, and you're going to precast Prayer of Healing on the melee for the slams. Because if they're proximity based, you're casting on whoever is closest, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are little things there that you can kind of take advantage of. One thing I do is I always organize my groups. So group one's always melee, group three and four is always ranged, and then two is just usually kind of a mixed bag. So it just kind of depends on whatever the group is. But the idea is, in my mind, if they're close together on the raid frames, that means they're close together in reality. You know, they're standing near each other.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we had a couple of healers that were very much like, hey, can you please do this with the groups? And the only time we ever deviated from that, I think, was when we were assigning groups to do specific things. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It stems from when Prayer of Healing was based on your groups, so you had to organize your groups.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. So now that it's always based off proximity, you're just kind of organizing your groups based off who you think is just going to be, you know, close to each other.
Man, do you remember that just reminds me of Spirit Shell and then Prayer of Healing and then just like going through every group in my raid frames. You get one and you get one and you get one. Like,
then the damage happens and then there's no damage because you move it all. Mm-hmm.
Duh, that was great.
Looking back, it's dark times. It was a dark time for the game. It was fun if you were the Disc Priest, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But man.
What about I think you touched on some of this a little bit. What about some of our big cooldowns?
So for big cooldowns, you have Divine Hymn, like I talked about, which is the only immobile raid cooldown. But you actually have a ton of synergy with the rest of your toolkit here. So you have an artifact trait called Renew the Faith. And like I said, keep in mind that we're taking Benediction, we're taking Piety, so we're going to be having a lot of Prayer of Mendings out all at the same time. So what Renew the Faith does is Renew the Faith basically makes it so that your little footballs that we talked about, your Prayer of Mendings, they don't lose any charges, and they always are balancing whether or not there's actually damage out. So Prayer of Mending jumps to a new target every second without consuming any charges over the duration of the hymn. So basically that lets you have your Divine Hymns going off, your Prayer of Mendings are jumping all over the place, they're healing all kinds of people every single second, and then when the Divine Hymn ends, you haven't lost any charges. If anything, you've just put out a bunch of renews on people and everything like that. So you're actually doing a ton of extra healing. So whenever you're looking at your healing done for the Divine Hymn, it may look pretty low, but keep in mind that it's about a 40 to 50% increase in your Divine Hymn healing just by having the Renew the Faith trait. It was very, very important to get at this point. It's very, very important. It's very, very strong. And with the way that the artifact knowledge ramps up, I mean, you're going to have most of the first 30, you know, pretty darn quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have an incredibly strong raid cooldown. And if you're able to buff it, this is actually going to be pretty cool. You're going to like this. So Divinity, of course, we talked about where you're getting a 15% healing increase if you just casted a Holy Word. So you're going to say, okay, well, I want to cast a Holy Word before I Divine Him. Then I buff the first two ticks of my Divine Him. And then you also have the very, very first trait that you get in your artifact weapon, which is Invoke the Naru. So, which means whenever you use a Holy Word spell, you have a chance to summon a little Naru pet, and for 15 seconds, they cast a similar spell. Well, your little Naru pet will replicate only the first tick of your Divine Hymn. So, it'll actually do like almost a million healing for free on its own if it procs.
That's amazing.
Wow.
So, on top of all the other stuff you have going on, you always want to be using a Holy Word before you Divine Hymn because it'll always buff your Divine Hymn, but then it has a chance to proc this little guy, and it'll do even more healing. So it's pretty crazy. And the most healing is going to come from your earliest ticks. So the fact that it's going to replicate just the first tick is just super, super nice.
You've talked a couple times about artifact traits. Did you mention the artifact ability itself?
Yeah. The artifact ability that we have is called Light of Turay. And it's a very, very small heal. It has two charges. It's a 45-second recharge. But it heals for about as much as a flash heal. And it also puts a buff on the target that increases all the healing that you and only you do to the target by 25% for 10 seconds. So what you're getting here is you ideally want to be using those on the tanks, and then you're putting Prayer of Mending on the tanks, and then the Prayer of Mending is leaving a Renew on the tanks, and it's leaving Echo on the tanks, and it's leaving all this other healing on the tanks. Before you actually are using any direct healing to them, you're just buffing all this extra stuff.
So it seems like you could have a really good get-out-of-jail-free situation. You throw that on there, and then maybe like a Serenity or...
Oh, and if you Serenity on them, yes. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten about 4.5 million crits with Serenity because they've had that buff on
like
them.
It's like a lay on hands.
If you set it up that way, yeah. But ideally, you don't really get to that point. Because if they take a huge hit and you're like, oh, I'm going to Light of Turay them, it doesn't heal them for much at all. So either the rest of your healers are going to top them off or he's going to die.
You know?
Because by the time the global cooldown turns over, then one of those two things has happened. So generally it's a nice coincidence because you'll use it, you know, there's always like the tickle point where tanks are like between 95 and 100% HP, you know, they're taking like a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
That's when you usually want to put it on them. And then they take a big chunk and you hope the buff's still on them and you just drop a Serenity on them.
Okay. So in that kind of situation where like, where people are already dying or, you know, at very low health, like the setup that it would take to try and pull off some of these things is just too much.
It's not an immediate benefit, whereas your holy words are, you know. So that's why you got to like really keep an eye on your holy words and, you know, do I really need to use it here? You always want to be using them on cooldown, but you don't want to be using it, you know, you don't want to use it just to get the divinity buff or something like that. You know? You got to be efficient with them.
How do holy priests fare in Mythic Plus right now?
I'd say they're pretty good. I don't think that they are anywhere near the top. I would definitely say I think Druid is still one of the top Mythic Plus healers. But, I mean, if you're not pushing, like, 20 plus, then you don't really have to worry about it, you know? I think Holy's fantastic for AoE damage and stuff like that as you're getting trashed down. It just does a ton of damage with Holy Nova. The boss damage is kind of lacking, but you can kind of augment that with your Apotheosis, so you can kind of switch between doing lots of healing, doing lots of damage, stuff like that. So it's decent for bosses, but your trash damage is really good. And the holy words really make it very nice where you don't have to worry about single target healing little Jimmy on the side. If he takes a little bit of damage, you can kind of just sit back, wait for him to take a lot of damage, then you can put your holy words on him. You know, that gives you a little bit of flexibility where you immediately have an instant cast spell sitting in your back pocket so you can DPS for as much as you'd like to do, and then you can start healing him.
One thing I saw you put here was talking about the affix balancing.
So you have weeks where I think we're in one of the decent weeks now, where some weeks, Raging Volcanic and Tyrannical this week, right? So this is a pretty decent week for the United States. You know, it's not too bad. it's okay. You can kind of deal with it, you know, and EU has the best week. They have Sanguine Overflow Tyrannical. So they have like the easiest stuff, you know, so some weeks you have that where you'll have like really good weeks, but like next week is bolstering, then skittish and fortified, right? So all the trash packs are going to take forever.
Okay.
So you have some weeks where you just feel like bad doing Mythic Plus, and other weeks you're just like, oh, I'm going to run Mythic Plus all week, you know? And I think that's really bad. I think, and I hope what they do, and I mean, they're already doing it right in 7.2. I hope that they kind of rebalance all of the affixes that you, you know, so that every week sucks or that every week's good, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to look at one week and just nope. Like,
yeah, because I mean, people have, like, I mean, think about it where like people have limited time to play and you're saying, oh, this is my week. I have the week off. I'm going to do a bunch of Mythic Plus. And it's like, oh, it's a bad week. Nobody wants to run. Like, that just sucks, you know? Yeah. So from the looks of things, it looks like they're already doing it. So I'm looking forward to that.
What's the highest level of plus that you've done?
I believe there's a 20 in time.
That's crazy, man. 20 seems like a lot.
That seems crazy.
It was an easy week, too, so that helped out a lot.
Yeah. We touched on this earlier, thanks to the world boss this week hooking me up. But why don't you run through some of the legendary pieces and tell people what they're missing out on if they don't have it.
There you go. All right. So starting from the priority, from the best legendary that you can possibly get, is the legendary cloak. It's Zanshi, Shroud of Archbishop Benedictus. And basically, after your Spirit of Redemption ends, so your Spirit of Redemption procs, of course, when you die. So instead of just falling on the ground dead, you go into this angel form for about 28 seconds or something like that. So after that expires, you revive at up to 100% HP based on how much that you're healing with your Spirit of Redemption. And after you revive, you cannot benefit from Spirit of Redemption for 10 minutes. So you get into Spirit of Redemption. You have a stacking buff where you have to get it up to 100, and then you res at 100. And then you revive, and then you just basically are alive again. You know, it's very, very strong.
B-res on yourself?
It basically is, yeah. We've had many.
Does it use the B-res timer?
It does not.
Holy man.
Yes, we had many, many times, actually on progression, where it's very beneficial to have a sacrifice, right? So what, there's the Seeker Swarm on Tychondrius, for example. Well, on Mythic, you're having certain people soak them, who are like rogues who have a lot of damage reduction. Mm-hmm. But, or you're having it like tanks who have a ton of HP. Well, we get into some awkward phases where you can't have the rogue soak, you can't have a tank soak. Well, then I just go in and soak, because I'm just going to automatically res from it.
Nice.
So you have little things like that. You also see it on Botanist, where in the last phase, if you get a debuff, you just go and die because you don't want to deal with it. But then it also has a benefit where you're on progression, right? Well, you know, you die, you mess up a mechanic, the whole raid wipes, and you're in angel form. Well, you can just res and resurrect everybody. You can just mass res. So,
oh, there you go. Oh, yeah, nice. Just like even that after combat benefit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've saved tons and tons of time for the raid just rezzing after the raid wipes and stuff like that, you know, and it lets us also be a lot more aggressive. So it's like, oh, this person died. Well, we're not going to save any battle rezzes so that we can rez after a wipe. We're just going to rez him right away and we don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. And the nicest thing is that it resets the cooldown of your potions and you don't lose your food or augment rune buff.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
That is.
Uh-huh. That's so I can use two healing potions. I can use two mana potions, and I still have my augment runes. So whenever the whole guild is not running augment runes when they're first starting a boss, I use four augment runes a night. You know, you start augmenting for when we're getting close to a kill. People are using 20 or 30. I'm using one an hour, more often than not. Yeah.
Jeez, that's very amazing.
That's a priest only. Cloak?
It is a holy priest only.
Holy priest only, yeah.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that is the best legendary. Probably one of the best in the game overall. Following that is Velen's Future Sight, which you talked about.
Yeah.
So it increases all healing done. It's an on-use as a 1.5 minute cooldown. Or sorry, 1 minute, 15 second cooldown. Increases all your healing done by 15% and causes up to half the overheal on players to be redistributed to three nearby allies for 10 seconds.
That's amazing.
And this trinket basically kind of breaks healing in a big way. I think for like the worldwide rankings for all holy priests, all of them but me have it in top 5, I think. So I definitely would like that. And it just breaks it. Like it's very silly, and it's very silly when we had the legendary cloak in Mist of Pandaria, which also redistributed your overhealing. It's very silly having items that redistribute overhealing because they are just innately, by definition, mindless.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You're just like, I can heal anybody, and you know, you don't get punished.
Yeah.
And I think it's just
spam whoever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it's not as mindless with this trinket as it was with like the legendary cloak in the past, but it's still in the same vein where it's like, you know, it's very, very forgiving and you're just doing crazy healing in phases where you probably shouldn't be. So, it just doesn't ridiculous. It's much higher throughput than the legendary cloak, but because getting to walk away from death is so powerful, the cloak I think is far and away number one.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. That sounds amazing.
So definitely really if does. You have both but a legendary
see,
cloak.
This is what I'm talking about when you have these few items, these few legendaries that just stick out as like so good. You get this and you have an advantage, right?
Yeah. I think it was fine with all the other legendaries that all the healers had until this Velen's trinket came about. because all the legendaries, you know, they have some benefit. You get some nice heals out of it and stuff, but it doesn't put you far and away into outer space now. Because healing, you know, in many ways is not really based on your legendaries. It's based on, you know, how many healers you're bringing, what kind of damage is going out, your skill. But this thing, it just breaks it, you know, just easily breaks it. Because it has such a short cooldown, it's insane for like Discipline Priests, for example. It's great for all the healers. But you have something like Disc Priest, which does a ton of healing, and it can innately just do a ton of overhealing in many windows of time whenever they ramp up a bunch of atonements. You know, you just constantly are having that used every single time. You know, it's just crazy, crazy efficient. Really crazy.
Very good.
The third place legendary that I put, you have the legendary legs, which increase the duration of your renew by 6 seconds. So it's about like a 44% increase to your duration of renew. It's almost half. It's very straightforward. I mean, you're using Benediction, you're using Piety, so you're getting a lot of renews out. So this legendary will extend the duration of the renews that you put out with Prayer of Mending, with Benediction. So it's good. It's very flat increase. Your legs just have a ton of stats in general. So that's another kind of thing to think about, is like if you're comparing a 940 piece of legs to a 940 ring, well, you're getting a ton more in stats by having the legs on. So that's always a big focus.
Yeah, that was my thing too. Some of them like were just better just because of the slot that they were in.
Mm-hmm. From there, the Prydaz neck is fourth place. So just a nice absorb, has a ton of secondary stats on it. A lot of healing that you can do from it just by yourself. I was kind of talking about earlier where you have the personal cooldown. You have Desert Prayer, which heals you for about 20% of your max HP on a minute and a half cooldown. I have that. I have my neck piece. It absorbs a bunch of stuff. And I have Leech. And those are most of my healing done to myself over the course of a fight. And it's resulting in, you know, many millions of healing just basically for free. And so it's very, very high throughput. And just for having it on. This is also really good for Mythic Plus as well, because it just, you can soak up so much extra damage. Like any cat on Mythic Plus, if it's a feline, it will jump on your face and try to one-shot you. It is the most frustrating thing ever.
Yeah.
So having a little bit of extra HP, effective health with an absorb is really nice to have just in general. So very, very straightforward. The fifth place one is called Ramal's Ulterior Motive. It's the gloves. So whenever Prayer of Mending heals, it leaves behind a little buff on the ally for 10 seconds. So the next flash heal or serenity that you cast on them is increased by 15%. So it's really strong if you're casting lots of flash heal and serenity, namely in Mythic Plus. But in general, it's not as good as the other ones. You know, it's pretty solid. You're not using that much flash heal in raids, but it's quite good in Mythic Plus. So that's what you're kind of using it most. So pretty decent. Nice. From there, it's kind of just the rest. If you get anything other than those five, you're kind of in bad shape. the next best one is basically the boots, which let you cast on the move. So you can almost guarantee casting Divine Hymn on the move, which is kind of nice. But, you know, it doesn't really do much more. And then the rest of the legendaries just kind of suck. You know, they just don't really have great effects.
Yeah.
Or they're rings, and they don't have a lot of stats on them. So, unfortunately. But, comparing our legendaries now to our legendaries in 7.1 is like night and day. You know, all of our legendaries actually have effects to them. They actually have benefits to them, which is really nice. Because in the past, you just had, you know, legendaries that just did nothing. In many ways, the Sifu's in the past was just really crappy because of how low the buff was and the requirements for getting the buff to begin with and stuff like that. So now it works off dispels for healers, for example, which is great. Previously, the neck, you had to not take damage for a certain window of time, so it could be borderline useless on some fights where you're always taking damage. Yeah.
Remember that.
You know, so that stuff kind of sucked. And you know, Furyx was this weird redirect heal thing that worked with Guardian Spirit, and that was just garbage, and it did like a handful of healing every time. So you had a lot of bad effects to them, so they kind of brought a bunch of them up. So they've gotten better, but in general, the top five that I listed there, and they're also listed on my guide on WoWhead, those are the ones you want. If you don't get those, it feels kind of bad.
How about some advanced tips and tricks? I'm sure you've got
so many
of these, but yeah,
you know, and dropping some of them just kind of over the course of other conversations about different things. So we kind of already talked about how like organizing your groups For me, it's very visual, where I am associating closeness in a group with closeness in game. You know, I'm saying these people are always going to be close together no matter what. If I cast a prayer of healing on them and I'm looking at primarily group one, because many times when you're healing, you're looking at your raid frames and you're focusing in on a certain group over others. Well, when you're tracking like Echo of Light, which should always pop up after you direct heal, I'm looking at group one. I'm saying, okay, most of these people are going to get Echo on them after I cast this thing. And you want that to happen, because every single time you're saying, okay, I healed those people and I didn't heal the other people that were not taking damage. So that's just a mental thing for me that helps out tremendously. I also have all my mythic kills on YouTube, and I kind of just go over everything kind of piecemeal of everything that I'm doing over the course of the fight and kind of some of the big struggles that I have in many, many ways. That kind of helps just looking at every single fight, because it can vary. It can vary where I'm casting flash heal incessantly on a rogue and a tank, and you know, I'm out healing the holy paladin and tank healing on this fight, but on this fight, you know, I'm just putting the bare minimum. I'm just putting the bare bones on them. So it can kind of vary in many ways, just depending on the encounter and just what the requirements are. So I love fights like Krosis, because it's just so much AoE healing and so much prep goes into it, where you're saying the damage is always consistent, it's always going to be very similar, and I'm able to plan when I want to get an innervate, when I want to be pre-casting these spells. And it's very, very consistent, where you kind of get into a flow of saying, okay, orb's going out, I'm going to cast this heal on the tanks, and then I see the orb fly out of his hands, and I'm pre-casting a prayer of healing. It hits right as the damage happens, and then I can drop like a sanctify and bring people up higher and higher in health. You know, it's the last platform. This is another really good thing. Whenever you're timing your legendary cloak, so if you're not soaking a particular mechanic to help out the raid, you do want to proc your legendary cloak. So you can res from it. You can get both your potions back. You can just have the 28 seconds or whatever it is of free mana casting, because that's extremely valuable. So that's another thing where I'm saying, okay, well, we're on the last platform. I'm going to stand in the laser from Krosis. I'm going to die immediately from it. And I'm going to be alive for the last minute of the fight. I'll have my potions reset, and I'll be able to still spam and stuff like that. Because I sacrificed myself at this specific time, I don't have to move around to do this mechanic, because this mechanic happens that causes us to move while we're also having to heal. You know, if you look at like Spellblade, you have the arcane orbs that go out.
Stupid things.
Whoops. The Spellblade, you have like arcane balls that are out, and then the arcane balls all start chasing your group around. So you stack as a group and you run away from them. Well, if I just go die before that even happens, I don't have to run as all the damage is going out, and I can just kind of sit there in my angel form and heal, you know? So, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
you just ignore mechanics for a good period of time, you cast stuff for free, and yeah, you're a good raid marker as well.
That's awesome.
You have many, many opportunities like that where you can kind of just game whatever it is, and even if you don't have a legendary cloak, well, if you're able to jump in fire at the end of the fight, you can spend the last 30 seconds of the fight in angel form, cast for free, and by the time you die, the fight's over.
Spam, spam, spam. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have all these kind of little advantages. You want to be careful with it and not be a total degenerate with it and try to soak up battle reses, because then you're like the worst person ever. But if you're able to pull it off where the fight's ending, everything like that's going well, then it's perfect.
Awesome.
But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. A lot of little things just kind of depends on the fight.
Yeah. Daryl, do you have any other questions?
You mean any questions?
He's too busy leveling his priest right now.
Well, and see, now listening to this, it's like, I'm going to end up dropping the money to move my priest over. I just know it. It's
there you go.
No, just use gold, man.
Yeah,
That's it.
I just spent all my gold buying 6 months of game time, so I'm kind of I'm out of gold at the moment.
Did you talk about your trick about that already, or the?
No, I haven't. But well, rather than buying a token and using it on game time, I use it for Battle.net cash. Then went to the Battle.net store and bought 6 months of game time. So I end up getting my 6 months of game time, and I have $12 left over in my Battle.net balance.
Wow!
So you're basically got 6 for 5, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty much. So,
you could have bought 6 of those month tokens and got 6 months, but you traded them in on cash and then ended up with a little extra cash. Gotcha.
$12 extra. And that's US.
That's like a hero, man.
That's like 50 bucks Canadian.
Heroes of the Storm.
There you
skins
go.
Or yeah, or some Hearthstone cards you've been talking about so much.
No, I haven't. No, but I'm definitely I'm definitely more tempted to move my priest over and start playing it. I don't want to start at zero and level up. I just definitely have very not. Little interest no. in that right now. No, but I'm
yeah, that would suck.
Get the boost.
I think I'm at level 91, 92. I'm in my garrison anyway. I'm in the garrison for sure. So mm-hmm. I'm tempted to move that character over now. So we'll see. After the Shadow episode and now the Holy One here, it's like, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe.
It's pretty great.
So. Okay, Jack, here's one last question. And,
of course.
As far as class stuff, because what, now you lean towards Holy right now. What makes you go with Holy over Disc?
One thing is the artifact power, because you can't really play switch hitter and switch between Disc and Holy for the fights unless you're farming 54 traits into both of them.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. More often than not, it's better if you are just focusing all your AP into one spec mm-hmm. and going off of that. For one thing, Holy, you never really find any situation where you kind of run into a snag. I think Discipline can kind of struggle in many situations because I wouldn't quite say it's a niche healer, but it's not a very versatile healer. You know, you are exceptional at like burst healing and stuff like that. So for a fight like Krosis, you handle very, very strongly, but you don't really do tons and tons of tank healing. Mm-hmm. You're not very flexible. Your priority healing on individuals isn't particularly high because you have to apply the Atonement. Then you're starting to deal damage and healing them up. And a lot of times it's just very trickle heals, right? So you kind of run into those issues where, you know, and you're not really focusing as much on, or you are focusing so intently on like one specific aspect of Disc and one type of healing, which is going to net you the best result for your raid group. And then you're having everybody else kind of cover the other bases. With Holy, you can cover any kind of base that you want. You're very, very flexible. And you're not as tied to mana. So another thing with Disc is your powered radiance, which just puts up multiple atonements at the same time. Costs so much mana, and you really, I mean, some of the best disc priests have all kinds of mana mechanics just dumped into them because they will have a very strong effect out of it. But if you ever have a week where your Rhett Paladin or your Boomkin takes a week off, well, you're going to feel horrible because, you know, your playstyle radically shifts as a result. You know, you have to really, really scale down how expensive your healing is.
Oh,
you
wow.
might miss
okay.
one of your timings here, stuff like that, and it feels very bad. If you're playing Holy, for example, you can still scale down if you don't have all those mana mechanics, but it's not nearly as extreme. You're just saying, okay, no, I won't be spammy here. I'll just have a precast here, and then I'll just let a little bit of trickle heals and stuff like that top people off. Or, you know, I can let my Echo just top people off, and I'll go back to just casting a little bit of filler here and there. And you can scale it down a lot easier than you can with Disc and not feel bad about it. So,
good.
And that way it's
yeah.
a lot more fun. Mm. In another way, because of how they buffed a lot of priest spells and stuff like that, or holy priest spells going into 715, I've been playing Holy. I played Holy all of Warlords, and I played a little bit at the end of MOP, and it was not great, to say the least. So this is also kind of an opportunity for me to kind of like bask in the sunlight where, you know, not people aren't talking about it, but Holy is extremely crazy strong at this point. It's very, very powerful.
Well, was there any other points about Holy Priest that you wanted to bring up before we wrap things down, wind them down, wrap them up, however that goes?
Hey, Daryl, if you ever didn't want any coaching, just hit me up, all right?
All right, will do.
Every weekend, we always do a bunch of log reviews and coaching stuff on
the
stream.
Oh, awesome, man.
Nice.
Yeah. That's good, yeah.
So,
man, Daryl and I finally went and got the hidden artifact appearance for Holy Paladin,
mm-hmm.
and it's... And it's Reinhardt's hammer for Holy
yep.
Pally. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's gonna want to jump ship for another class yet, but I think this would be a good one.
You gotta look
yeah.
up the holy appearances for Holy Priest. And
how
see
do you,
yourself.
How do you get it?
It's exalted rep with the Varalar, and then you have to run Halls of Valor maybe 5 or 6 times to kill the angel boss here.
Oh,
Kurajal,
yeah.
Lady
oh, okay.
Angel. And then it drops off her. You can run normal if you wanted to. So you just get some buddies, you run normal, mm-hmm. go to that boss, then you reset if you don't get it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You lost
take
me
five.
Halls of Valor. I'm done with that.
I haven't run Halls of Valor in months. I don't even know what it's like in there anymore.
Dude, I did. We did like a plus 6 mythic Plus in there the like not too long ago. And it went fine, but I was like, oh, this place, man, forget it.
Yep.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, if you have anything to add about this topic or future topics, you can leave us a voicemail, you can go to the site, or you can join our Discord, and that is at discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, what do you got for shoutouts?
I'm going to steal your shoutouts by thanking Jab for leveling up his healer, or his druid as a healer, and coming in and being a raid healer for us.
Oh, he tore it up.
Darnie for filling in as a tank, because I'm not a tank anymore. So she came in and tanked, and so that was really nice. So that, and Jack, thank you so much again. This is
of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Really, really good. I feel like now I have the better tools to put that trinket to good use.
There you go. Absolutely.
Daryl, what about you?
Same thing you said. Darnie, particularly, I know she wanted to run her priestess shadow, but because we were down a tank, she did come in and tank for us. So a big thanks to her. And Jab, he tore it up. He did exceptionally well on healing for us yesterday. Although I don't know how he did it, but he got his first legendary when he was level 105.
Yeah, he did
on that druid. So I don't even know what he was doing.
It's like his destiny or something.
Exactly, to be a resto healer for us. Jack, thanks for coming and talking to us about Holy Priest. It seems like every time we do one of these class guides and it's something I don't play, it makes me want to go play it. And this is following the same trend. So you clearly did a good job and hyped up the class and the spec for me. So thank you very much. Do you have any shout-outs?
Definitely give a shout out to my guild, Incarnate on Nerzul. I've been kicking ass this year and I've been loving it. Big shout out to our raid leader, Wicked, for always bringing me to progression fights. And that about do it. Shout out to the stream and everybody who's come around for logger views and cheers us on and stuff like that for our boss fights and stuff. Much appreciated.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, Jack, do you want to let people know where they can reach you or get a hold of you if they have questions about this or anything else?
Of course. I'm on Twitter, Twitter, Discord, YouTube, and Twitch. All of them are at Automatic Jack, so it's just Automatic, and it's J-A-K, there's no C. I'm pretty active on all of those. If you want to hit me up on Discord, the code is just at Automatic Jack. My YouTube channel has all the guides for specific boss fights, as well as just video guides of the written ones, which are on Wowhead. So you can always find my written guides on Wowhead and all of that stuff.
All right, well, that wraps up episode 158 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.